Our lessons this morning are not necessarily a part one and part two lesson, but in many respects they may be considered paired together. In our first lesson this morning, we're going to talk about the subject of gratitude, and then in our second lesson at the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the subject of contentment. And as you can imagine, in many respects, these two ideas go hand in hand with one another. Some weeks ago at our breakfast that some of the men have and get together on Wednesday mornings, it was shortly after the period of time that we in this country recognize as a time to be thankful. There was some discussion about the idea of gratitude and how important gratitude is towards one's happiness, towards a lot of things within life. And as a result of that, I wanted to talk for a few moments this morning in our first lesson about this idea of gratitude. Certainly, thankfulness is kind of a synonym of this, but as we think about what it means to have an attitude that is grateful, or an attitude of gratitude, if you will, it is the idea of having an appreciative remembrance of the things that have been done for you, the blessings that we have, particularly as we think of it in terms of our accountability and relationship to God. We are grateful and we remember those things that He has done for us, those things that He continues to do for us. It is a remembrance or a recollection of goodness received, thinking about the good things that we have. You know, the opposite of gratitude is a consciousness or an attitude that says things are not good enough, an attitude that is never thankful, that is never satisfied with what one has. The opposite then would be an attitude in which we remember and recall all of those good things that we have received. And hand in hand with that as well is a sensitivity to the fact that God has been gracious to us. Now remember, when we talk about the term grace, and when we find it in Scripture, we will find it used in a number of different ways. There is God's grace that brings about salvation, and that's probably what we talk about more than anything else in Scripture. But understand that in many respects, every blessing that God gives to us is given as a result of His gracious attitude towards us. So with that in mind, let's think a little bit, and we're going to primarily focus in on two aspects of this. First of all, I want us to think about the idea that complaining often comes when we don't have the proper attitude of thankfulness that we should. Complaining grows out of a short-sightedness and a forgetfulness. Remember, we noticed that idea that gratitude is remembering or recalling a goodness that we've received, remembering the grace that we've been given. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says this, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. I know that all of us from time to time, whether it's things related to our work, or whether it's things going on in the economy or things in the political realm, maybe it's some classmate or some teacher that's particularly hard on you, there are times in which it's very easy for us to complain. And I don't think that this passage would indicate to us that we can never look at something with a critical eye. I don't think it's saying that we must look even at bad things and see them as good things. But remember, if we are to have an attitude that is thankful and has gratitude for the blessings that we have received, it is short-sighted if when we face difficulty, we don't look for those good things that we have been given even in the midst of that. If it's some situation that you're having to deal with that you feel inclined to complain about, you may articulate your struggle. You may tell someone or share with someone the difficulty that you're having. But if we're not careful, we can just become swallowed up with an attitude that doesn't look at all at the good things that are going on in our life. As we think about this passage here in Philippians, we should remember the context
in which it is written. Christians in the first century, the Apostle Paul faced all sorts of persecution, all sorts of difficulty. You're looking at a time in which the physical blessings that we take for granted were not available to these people. You're looking at a time in which freedom of religion and freedom of expression was not available to them. You're looking at a time in which, if our timing is correct and we understand it, Paul may very well have been imprisoned. And yet Paul says, do all things without complaining. Notice in this passage, one of the reasons that that is so important, the middle of the reading there on the screen, notice, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We will not shine as lights to the world around us if our attitude is solely consumed with complaint and grumbling. Another passage that's very similar to this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Here, perhaps the focus of the discontent is zeroed in on that idea of a hospitable attitude that is willing to, literally, the idea of love for strangers, a willingness to care for strangers. But notice here, it's not to be an attitude that grumbles about it. Why do I have to help this person? Why do I have to take this person in? Instead, it is to be something that is characterized by fervent love in this powerful passage that love covers a multitude of sins. I don't think that's the idea that, well, so long as I love, it doesn't matter what I do. I think we need to recognize that when, in fact, we are doing what God would have us to, that mercy that we receive from Him is poured out to others. It is something in which maybe even if we've wronged others, we can help make up for that. We can help that be healed by the love that we show to others. But notice this attitude of grumbling. Perhaps if we think about the idea of complaint, there is no example that seems to be clearer in Scripture than what we see in the Israelites. Go with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 14. And I want you to notice in Exodus chapter 14, we're going to look at just a couple of examples where the Israelites who had received the blessing of God, the Israelites who were being delivered from their bondage in Egypt, it almost seems as if every little incident, every little setback becomes an occasion for them to complain. And it's very easy for us, perhaps, centuries removed from this, to look at them and to be very critical of their attitude. But we must ask ourselves, are we that much different? Notice the first example I'd like you to look at with me in Exodus chapter 14, verse 11. Here, as they are being delivered and they are confronted with the enemy chasing them from behind, verse 11 of chapter 14 says, "Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why then, why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." How amazing that is. They had seen the plagues. They had seen God's deliverance. And the first obstacle that they're faced with here, when the Egyptians are pursuing them, they complain. Over in the next chapter, look in chapter 15 and verse 24. And sadly, we see much the same kind of attitude. They've been delivered from the Egyptians. God allowed them to cross and destroyed the Egyptians. But rather than remembering God's grace towards them, when they become thirsty and they don't find water as they should, rather than having a trust that God has provided for us, He'll do so again. Notice Exodus 15, verse 24. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And we could go on and look at many examples of the Israelites, but these suffice. And I want you to notice that in each case, it is a failure to remember God's goodness and to be aware of the grace that He had shown to them, and the grace that He continues to show towards His people. Complaining grows out of short-sightedness and forgetfulness. But I want us to also recognize that gratitude is something
that will grow in our hearts and in our lives when it's not just a matter of once a year. It's not just a matter of, you know, when we say thank you for some gift that we've received or something like that. Gratitude needs to be something in which we keep on remembering things, but we keep on remembering the proper things. Let's look at a couple of examples. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'd like us to notice in the life of the Apostle Paul an attitude that we see in his life. You'll remember that Paul, before he had been obedient to the gospel, he had at one point believed that he should persecute children of God. He should persecute Christians. And it was not that Paul, after obedience to the gospel, I appreciate the psalm that was read in our scripture reading. It wasn't that Paul somehow believed, well, God hasn't forgiven me. You remember that passage that Patrick read to us? As far as the east is from the west, he's removed iniquity from those whom he's forgiven. But I want you to know that Paul, as he remembered where he had been, it led him to appreciate what God had done for him. And that's important in our lives. I'm not suggesting that we need to sit back and just dwell on bad times that we've had in the past. I'm not suggesting that we need to sit and just be consumed with negative feelings. But if we don't allow ourselves to have the proper perspective to look at where we've been, to look at what God has done for us in the past, we're not going to look at the present the way that we ought to. We're not going to look to the future in the way that we ought to. Read with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now listen to this. "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I wonder, do you think there were ever times when Paul faced circumstances that he wasn't pleased with, and it might have been easy for him to grumble and complain about those things? Sure. You know, he's persecuted. He's mistreated. He goes through all of these things because he's become a Christian. Why is it, do you think, that the record that we read about Paul is not one in which he's offering complaint, in which he's grumbling? Yes, we can read about his thorn in the flesh, and we can read about his appeal to God to have that removed. We also see a man who is content. We see a man who is grateful and thankful. Do you think that this passage that we've just looked at may tell us anything about the source of that gratitude? I think so. Because Paul, in spite of all that he might have to go through, he kept within his memory the fact that I was formerly a blasphemer. I was formerly a persecutor of God's people. What I deserved was to be punished. What I deserved was to be cut off from God altogether. And yet, thanks be to God, he was merciful to me. I think sometimes when we struggle with an attitude of grumbling and complaining, it may be that we, first of all, are not thankful enough for the things that we have been given. But second of all, we don't look back at our condition, either our condition as sinners, in which we were undeserving of the grace and mercy that God has given us, or as we look back at times in which God has brought us through difficulties and blessed us in the past. Gratitude is not something that lives in the past. Understand, I'm not suggesting that we rob ourselves of any happiness because we just dwell on our shortcomings or dwell on our past sins and past lapses in judgment and material things. But what I am suggesting is that it does remember so as to motivate spiritual pursuits. Go to Philippians chapter 3 with me for a moment. Philippians chapter 3. And let's start in verse 12. Paul, as he is expressing his gratitude to the brethren in Philippi that have extended aid to him when he needed it, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I think that's powerful because it shows us this balance of remembering the past, but looking forward to press on to be what he ought to be. And I think that's important for us as we think about that. Gratitude is going to grow in our hearts. It's going to be that which magnifies and increases when we continue to remember. You know how sad it is when we see it in the lives of young people or when we see it in the lives of even adults in which some blessing has been given to them. Maybe they have gotten something that they wanted to get that they had worked hard for. Maybe they've gotten a new job. Maybe they've gotten a promotion. Maybe someone has given them some gift. And it seems as if before they got that thing, that's all they could talk about that. They were obsessed with that. And yet then, almost as soon as they get that thing, they're off to something else. It's as if they can't be content, as if they can't remember. Gratitude is, remember we use the expression appreciative remembrance. It focuses on what we have. It is a grateful awareness that dwells on what we have received. Even when circumstances change, a mindset of gratitude will be one that keeps rejoicing. I'm glad that I received that. Even an attitude perhaps that says, well, yes, this is not good, but it could have been so much worse, and I'm so grateful that I have what I have. You know, we have cold weather outside, and oh, it's freezing, isn't it? You know, but aren't we grateful we have a warm place to come into? Aren't we grateful that each of us have warm homes to go to? Can you imagine what it would be like if that was not the case? Can you imagine what it would be like if we were put in a situation where we were simply exposed to the elements? Are we grateful for those things that we have been given and that we have received? Well, finally, as we think about this idea of keeping on remembering the proper things, I want us to shift directions just a little bit and think particularly about the spiritual things that we ought to keep on remembering, the spiritual things that we ought to be grateful for. Go to Romans chapter 2 with me for a moment. Romans chapter 2, and similar to what we noticed about the Apostle Paul a while ago. If you are a Christian, the next time that you find yourself tempted to grumble and complain because this thing in life is not the way that you wish it was, or this thing in life has been a disappointment to you, I want you to think about two passages we're going to look at here as we bring our lesson to a close. The first is in Romans chapter 2. And if you're familiar with the layout of the book of Romans, Paul starts off by talking about the problem of sin. And he talks in chapter 1 about the problem as it has affected all of the world, Gentile and Jew. In chapter 2, then he shifts gears and begins to talk about those that are Jews and yet have themselves not obeyed the law of God, have given themselves to sin. And as he talks about this willingness to give oneself to sin, he says there, beginning in verse 4, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering,
not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, there was some time in your life when you stood separated from God because of your sin. The fact that your life was spared to the point at which you could confess the name of Jesus Christ. You could repent and turn from sin. You could be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Is that something you're grateful for? I hope that it is. If as a Christian you have labored in trying to serve the Lord, all of us have fallen short from time to time. And yet the Lord has been merciful to you and to me, allowing each of us that time and that opportunity when we recognize sin in our life to turn from it and to repent lest it separate us from Him once again. Are you and I grateful for that? If we're not, we very well could be guilty of what verse 4 talks about here, despising the riches of His goodness. Now notice what it goes on to say, His forbearance, His long-suffering, His goodness is intended to lead us to repentance. Thank you, Lord, for the patience that you've shown in my life and in the lives of those who are Christians. But let's notice as well as we think about this, go to Ephesians chapter 2, our final passage. Ephesians chapter 2. This passage talks about grace, and I mentioned at the beginning that we must understand that grace can refer to that grace of God that brings salvation, but also to all of those blessings that are given to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, I think the focus appears to be upon that grace, that unmerited favor, that willingness to forgive when we didn't deserve it, that leads to salvation. Two verses, notice verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Look down at verse 7. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." We need to talk from time to time about the struggles that man has with trying to understand grace and works and obedience and love, and that's appropriate. And that's proper. But I want us to notice as we think about this, look at the emphasis that Paul places upon the riches of His grace. You remember we looked at that passage where he talked about that he had formerly been a blasphemer, and yet God was merciful to him. Do you think Paul was sitting there going, okay, well, is it works or is it grace? If I do anything that's necessary for me to accept that grace, does that mean I'm earning that? You know, that's the struggle our world has. I think Paul had an attitude, as we should have, that said, I deserved punishment. But God, who is rich in mercy, rich in grace, the riches of His grace, has given me the opportunity to be reconciled back to Him in spite of what I deserved. What can I do? You remember the attitude that Isaiah has that we noticed some time back where Isaiah, when he's given this vision of the throne of God and he realizes he's a sinful man, he's seen God, but his sin is forgiven, and then what does he want to do? "Here am I, send me." We should have that attitude in which when we recognize how much has been done for us, that we should say, "What can I do?" We don't sit back and view it as if, why are you asking me to do this? You know, why should I have to do these things? We have a willingness to be grateful for what God has done for us. Nothing that is demanded of us in His law will be too much for us. Nothing will seem to be an imposition because gratitude will lead us to view it with the proper perspective. Now, I hope as we think about these things this morning, it will urge us in our daily life to think about how much we have been blessed. But if we are a Christian, I hope it will also lead us to recognize how much we have been loved, how much mercy has been shown to us in the death of Jesus Christ. But if you're here this morning and you stand outside of Christ, you have reason to be grateful
because God has spared your life to this moment in time. We have no promise of tomorrow. And yet right now you have the opportunity that you could put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, confess that faith before men, repent of sin and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and you can receive the riches of His grace. You can receive that reason to have gratitude from here into eternity. If we can help you attain that, won't you come? While we stand and sing.